take from that game, good and the bad?
Well, try to defensively, the key would have been Tracy. If Tracy plays, Tracy doesn't play, it's a little bit different ball game. We actually defended very well. I mean, obviously, we'd take 79 points any game, and we'd take what Tracy did for him to shoot as many shots, take as many shots to get his points. We'd have taken that, no questions asked. Unfortunately, he got 18 in a bunch and broke the game open because we weren't very effective offensively. So it becomes, offense is going to be a big focus anyhow. It'll be more of a focus if Tracy doesn't play. We have to score easy points. We didn't run very well at all. We kind of got lulled into walking it up and trying to score in the half court and playing the way they play. And we just, they're not easy, but you got a better chance of scoring against them when transition and when you're open floor and Kevin and Jeff are attacking. And it's not, when they get their five defenders back there, it's a problem. I mean, they block shots, they're an excellent rebounding team, and they're a very good defensive team on top of that. So if we can get throw aheads to Kevin and Jeff or Adrian or Damian is ever playing, we got a chance to get some easier buckets. We got a chance to get some free throws, which neither of which we did a very good job with. We also need to do as good a job, which would be hard to do, getting the offensive. We had like 21 offensive rebounds, and we shot it so poorly. There were more opportunities, but I mean, this is a prime team for and Friday. You got to get fast breaks. You got to get free throws. You got to get offensive rebounds. And three pointers, the other one. But that's just not one of our strengths. If you don't get some of those points, I mean, if you're just coming up and trying to execute offense and score against their set defense, it's very difficult. So that's a major, that would have been a major focus with him. It's a major focus without him too, for sure.
When you take the Sonics into San Antonio on Friday, is there a sense of pride because you have not your own team, but you are back as a head coach? Are you a little disappointed because of the state of the team? How do you approach it when you take a team?
I hadn't thought about it that much. I mean, I'll think about it, when we play. But no, I don't think so. It's just been so long since I've been back there. It'll be really funny. I never sat on that bench. I mean, I sat in the Alamo Dome bench a lot, but I've never coached in that building on the other bench. So it'll be a very different feeling. But again, when you go in and you're in the other locker room, I mean, it's just not going to be the same. You go in, you're in the other locker room. You're on the other bench, and it's a different team. And the fact that we've already played him twice, I don't think it's going to be seeing the people will be interesting, and looking up and seeing that setting. But I just think it'll be so different because the locker room, the bench, the team. And especially having played them, I think had we got in there and played them the first time we met this year, I think had it been in San Antonio, I think that'd be a little different. Not having coached against Pop in 5 years, not having coached against those players. But now it's almost like we've already played them twice. It's still going to be different in that building, but I think it won't be nearly as different as it could have been had we played them earlier in the year.
When you were at San Antonio, the Spurs had success drafting international players late in the draft. Parker, Ginobili, Roberto. What was it that
Scola.
Made Scola. Yeah, Scola. Traded Scola. What was it that made them so successful during that time? Did you guys just do a good job of scouting?
No, it wasn't me. It was, exactly. I think Pop and RC in particular were a little bit ahead of the curve. It's not like they were the first ones, but if you look back now, I think they were slightly ahead of it. And I think they also had the patience to wait for some guys. They also, a couple times, would take a guy, maybe knowing that it wasn't necessarily going to pay off that year. It might be another year, it might be 2 years or something like that before they were able to do it. Didn't work out with Scola, actually. I mean, it got to be where they as much were trying to help him out because they had his rights for so long, and he wanted to come over, and they wanted him to come over. So I just think they were a little bit ahead of some other teams. They may not have been the first, but they were certainly in the first group and they were a little bit more forward thinking. I think they spent a little more time internationally or just saw things. It's easy to look back and see Manu and say, I don't know how people couldn't have seen Ginobili and realized he was one of the best players in the world when he was over in Italy. It's hard to believe people wouldn't have realized, but maybe they didn't, think enough to invest that pick, that second round pick, and know that he wasn't going to be there right away. And, I said with Tony a million times, Pop saw something in Tony that hardly anybody saw. And Tony was really talented, but Pop from day one believed in him and, let him play for a long time and let him play through a lot of mistakes. And obviously they were still winning games, but he was really patient with him. And I think that Fabrizio is another one. They're all a little bit different. Fabrizio is kind of like an acquired taste. He's not going to blow you away with numbers or anything like that, but he's a good Spur. You watch him the way he plays. He's smart. He knows how to play. He plays hard. He's a very good defender. So, again, he fits the mold there. I think that's what RC and Pop have done, I've said it for years. I don't think Pop's a good coach. I think he's a great coach. But I, if it's possible, I think he and RC are underrated for the way they've constructed the roster and the way they've seen people and the way they've recognized how pieces fit together and the culture that they have there. They seldom vary from that. They make mistakes sometimes and then they move the mistake on. But they have a concept and they'll take people that fit their concept, regardless of talent, regardless of the timing sometimes and things like that. And I just think that the way they've managed drafts and international and the money and the contracts and all that stuff is just as or maybe even more impressive than what they do on the floor also. So, they're very good at what they do. They really are. There's a tendency to say, David Robinson, Tim Duncan. True. Not two good players, two great, great players. But a lot of teams have a couple great players. They've surrounded them with other guys that weren't necessarily. Now they do. Manu and Timmy and Tony, to me, are three of the elite players in the league. But they've also had teams where they had those two and they had a lot of other very good players, the complimentary guys and guys that fit roles and they cherry-pick these guys late in their careers and they'd come and they'd get a year or two out of them or they'd get real good production out of them in the playoffs after they didn't do much during the regular season. I think they have a good understanding of how to go about, building a good team and building a team that's good for the playoffs.